Morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, verses 13 to 18, chapter 4, the coming of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring us with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Well, on this Remembrance Sunday morning, our focus goes particularly to the enormous sacrifice that many have made throughout the ages in conflict, and particularly in two world wars. One of the most famous phrases remembered from World War II was uttered by a man in retreat. In 1942, in the middle of the war in the Pacific, Roosevelt gave the order to General Douglas MacArthur to retreat from the Philippines rather than to be captured by the advancing Japanese armies. Reluctantly, he did so. And shortly after leaving the Philippines, he issued what are now these famous words, "I shall return." 2 years later, or for 2 years, the Philippine people cowered under the brutal rule of the Japanese occupiers. And through these long days, a guerrilla force of Philippine fighters harried and disrupted their conquerors. Those freedom fighters were fired up by those words from that American general, "I shall return." It gave them hope. It gave them courage. And then on the 20th of October, 1944, on the beach at Leyte, MacArthur waded up the beach and returned. At enormous cost, 14,000 Allied lives and 250,000 Japanese dead, the Philippines were liberated, and good to his word, MacArthur had returned. Now, the Thessalonian church was birthed in persecution under the oppression of the Jewish majority. In Acts 17, we read that Paul had been in Thessalonica just a few weeks when opposition broke out. The Jews stirred up trouble against the Christians, for what they saw was blasphemy, and Paul and Silas were forced to leave. And the Christians that were left behind found themselves in a cauldron of persecution, tested, tormented, beaten, imprisoned. Paul lifts their eyes to the coming King. He remembers the words spoken to the disciples at Jesus' ascension. This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, but he also promised that he would return in bodily form. He will come again. He will return. And Paul wants to give clarity and hope and vision for those suffering for being Christians, those under the boot of the oppressor, those whose heads are bowed low. The angel said that Jesus would return, but Paul tells us more. He says he will come with all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. He will be accompanied by a great host that no one can number. Saints of God through the ages, saints from Thessalonica, saints from Corinth, saints from Rome, saints from the Sudan, saints from North Korea, saints from Downend. They will be there like a great cloud of witnesses, a human train, a triumphant host, men, women, boys and girls from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, resurrected children of God. They will be there. Will you be there? From the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest, from those from times long ago to those from the present, they'll be all together, joined together, side by side, hand in hand, coming together in worship, coming in praise, coming with the returning, conquering, victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he came for the first time, just a few shepherds saw that spectacle as the hosts of heaven announced the birth of a Saviour. When he comes a second time, every eye will see him. When he comes again, the hosts of heaven will be supplemented and even surpassed by the risen saints of God. How spectacular! What a spectacle! The whole of creation will never have seen anything like it. And here in the place of honour, in a ringside seat, standing shoulder to shoulder with the Saviour of the world, will be every single Christian who has ever bowed the knee and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Will you be there? And as we see the bridegroom Jesus coming with his bride, the church, those who are still alive will be caught up to join this great gathering. The living will join the resurrected. The church past and the church present will now be unified. The body of Christ, for the first time in history, is now complete. Complete because everyone who's accepted Jesus as Lord will be gathered in. Complete because every lost sheep will be enfolded in the arms of Jesus. Complete because the curtain of history will be drawn on that glorious blood-bought family who will be forever with the Lord. Will you be there? Paul says, I don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. For the people of God, their hopes and their dreams will have been fulfilled. But there'll be a body of people for whom this will not be a day of deliverance. It will not be a day of triumph. It will not be a day of joy. There will be a body of people who will stand on that day without hope. These people will be left outside the wedding feast of the Lamb. These people will be separate from the church of God. These people will not stand covered in the righteousness of Jesus. These people will not have known the forgiveness of sin. For these people, the day of glory becomes a day of dread. For these people, they will watch as Christ gathers his church and they won't be part of it. Their future won't be glory, but destruction. Not forgiveness, but judgment. Not heaven in the presence of God, but a place devoid of God. Not welcome security and eternal life, but banishment, fear and separation. Jesus talked about this day in the parables again and again. It's the dividing of the sheep and the goats. It's the dividing of the wheat from the tares. It's the dividing of the righteous from the unrighteous. It's the story of the wise and foolish virgins. For one, there is eternal hope. For the other, there is eternal destruction. So how do we feel when we think about Christ's return? Paul says to the persecuted church in Thessalonica, encourage one another with these words. For some, as we hear these words, joy will well up in our hearts as the certainty of our eternal home becomes a reality. The pages of history close, and we have the total assurance that the work of Christ in our hearts has reached its full potential. But for some, as we hear these words, our hearts fill with fear. We know that we're not part of Christ's kingdom, and we realize the consequences for us when he returns. On that day, we will be without hope. On that day, it will be too late. On that day, we would realize the consequence of our rejection of Jesus, and there will be nothing we can do about it. But today, we are not without hope, because today is the day of salvation. Today, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His arms are stretched out to save you. His heart desires you more than life itself. He comes to you today, not as judge, but as Savior. Take him. Accept him. Receive him. He will only be your judge if you reject him. You will only be left out if you turn your back on him. You will only be fearful of his coming if you have decided to reject his overtures of salvation. He wants your love. He pleads for your heart. He longs for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I come to you. All my fears and failings, I'll leave those at the foot of the cross. Through your broken body and life-saving blood, Lord, make me whole again. Lord Jesus, receive me, renew me, remake me, accept me as your own. Make me one of those triumphant saints. Build me into your eternal church. Change me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when I hear those words, I shall return. Nothing but nothing will fill my soul other than overflowing joy." Let's pray together. Father, we bow our heads on this Remembrance Sunday. Father, our minds are full of that picture of the poppies planted around the Tower of London, thousands upon thousands who have given their lives. And Father, our reading this morning gives us a picture of thousands upon thousands of blood-bought children of God coming again in glory with Jesus. Lord, I want to be one of those. I want to know Jesus as my Lord. Father, accept me this morning as one of your saints, as one of your children, as part of your eternal church. Father, forgive me for ever rejecting you, ever turning my back on you. Lord, thank you for your open arms. Thank you that today you come to me not as judge, but as Savior. May I forever and in eternity know you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.